This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Saturday Magazine.
We've spoken to Ambulance Victoria, we've spoken to Victoria Police, we've spoken to Harm Reduction Victoria. Now we want to move into the mental health space. And, there isn't a better voice in the mental health space than Pat McGorry, Professor of Mental Health, Youth Mental Health at Origin Youth Health and a former Australian of the Year. Pat McGorry, are you there?
Hi, Tess. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you this morning?
And Macca.
Very well, thank you.
Great to have you on air. Thank you for joining Joy Radio this morning. Before we actually begin talking about the season ahead of us, Pat, you've been a very strong supporter of marriage equality. Could you talk to us a bit about why you supported marriage equality in the way in which you did?
Well, I suppose just the first principle is just equality, isn't it? That's the first thing. It would be a natural thing for me to support, but I suppose it's been reinforced incredibly by my experiences working as a mental health professional in Headspace and Origin, where we see lots of young people facing this challenge, you know, and having experienced a lot of discrimination and very adverse sort of, you know, experiences and putting their mental health at risk. That's why they're there, because of these factors. And I suppose it's a real and also symbolic reform that we were supporting here, and it's made already, I think, a big difference. It's obviously a shame people had to go through the whole public debate over it, but so that's probably the other reason. And also people in my family, close family relatives are gay, so, you know, that added an extra sort of personal dimension to it as well, of course, but I think it would have been the same anyway.
So, Pat, the link between discrimination and mental health outcomes is well and truly established in scientific circles, in mental health circles. Why is it that people still dispute that? I mean, we had a federal politician here on this very show, 12 months ago, who just said, I don't believe it.
It was Pauline. It was Pauline Hanson.
Good old Pauline, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Well, look, I mean, discrimination in general is bad for people, isn't it? I mean, it's not just on this issue, any issue. And just as a slight segue, the discrimination against people with mental ill health is a massive issue, because we've got much worse access to healthcare in the first place, and the quality of the healthcare we've got access to is substandard compared to what you see in cancer and heart disease and other areas. So discrimination in a more general sense about them in relation to the 4 million people in Australia with mental illness. So that's another dimension to this whole discrimination issue. It's not stigma, it's discrimination.
So it's 4 million, Patrick. So what, it's about 16%, 17%, something like that?
More like 20.
Wow.
In any given year. And it's actually closer to 50 if you look at the whole lifespan, because, probably 100% of us have physical health problems in our lives, and we don't question the validity of that. But it's probably at least 50%. I would say maybe even higher than that. But certainly, solid facts showing it's about 45-50% across the whole lifespan. So, you know, that means that when you're looking for expert help, you won't be able to find it, actually, in most cases. So that's the thing we're fighting for in a more general sense. But, and obviously, you know, with discrimination in any area like LGBTI or on the basis of race or social disadvantage, anything is something worth fighting for, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You won't get any argument here.
No, I didn't think so.
Not on Australia's premier LGBTI community radio station, absolutely not. So, Pat, I want to just move forward a little bit and ask you, what are the things, what's the advice that you will give to our listeners about what are the things that they can do to look after not only their own mental health but also that of their friends and peers and people around them? What's your advice?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's advice which is a lot of it's just common sense, isn't it, Tess? I mean, you know, I suppose avoid things that are going to harm your mental health, like, you know, drugs and alcohol, and try to do things that improve it, like exercise, healthy eating, But probably the thing that helps a lot of people is just thinking beyond yourself, trying to get out of your own sort of self-absorbed and look after the people around you and do something to help other people. That's a great way to sort of improve not just your own mental health, but the mental health of other people. And I think a lot of people understand that, you know, just instinctively. But so those are sort of simple things. There's probably many other things, you know. Obviously, things like mindfulness and, you know, yoga. Some people find those things helpful. But so it's a mixture of avoiding the risks and trying to do the things that strengthen, that do produce positive mental health. And that may not be enough to stop you becoming mentally ill, because some of the most mentally healthy people I've ever met have had serious mental illness. They, right. You know, they're very resilient, and they it's just that they suffer from an illness which is beyond their control, but they can still have a healthy and a mentally healthy life, you know, certainly much of the time.
Look, I think one of the challenges with Patrick is we've come a long way with the discussion in communities, you know, both within families and small communities and the wider community about mental health. It's still a big challenge, isn't it? Because I look at, let's not talk specifically about some recent events, but where people have a mental illness and they come into the public eye, it's almost like some of the media, not all, but when they report it, that, you know, mental health is the cause of this, or mental health has, you know, this is why it happens. And it's in a very negative way. And when we look at the numbers of people that have mental health issues and challenges, I'm always surprised. We've come a long way with PTSD. We've come a long way, you know, with anxiety. But how do we get people to understand a little bit better, one, how to look after their mental health, and number two, how to actually be a bit respectful and understanding that this is a much wider problem than we realise? And finally, how do we actually get governments to fund mental health properly?
God, MacMacker, that's a three-hour conversation.
Well, you know, he's a professional.
How about the three-minute conversation?
Yeah.
I've been tweeting about this morning in the wake of the, you know, recent events. And see, some people in the mental health field want to protect. They want to sweep things under the carpet, because quite understandably, because they don't want to stigmatise people with mental illness. And as we know, the vast majority of those 4 million people with mental ill health are completely safe. In fact, they're at lower risk than the general population of causing violence, and they're more at risk of being victims of violence. But there is a subgroup of people with serious mental illness who, if they're not treated properly, you know, early and properly and expertly, do pose a risk to the community. And if you don't provide a really strongly resourced and expert mental health state governments, then those people do pose a risk not just to themselves but to the community. And we've seen, you know, increasing numbers of these incidents over the last 15 years as Victoria's mental health system has declined in investment and quality, which is a tragic thing. It used to be the best in Australia. Now it's, you know, the lowest per capita funding and really in crisis. And in our own region of Melbourne, we've seen 23 homicides committed by people in contact with the public mental health system. And it's not their fault, because they haven't been looked after properly. And yet innocent people have been killed. So there is a... We've got to be honest about this, you know, and many people in the mental health field are not willing to look at that side of the equation in advocating for more government sort of investment. Of course, the more serious problem is suicide. For every one of those homicides, there's 100 suicides. So, again, equally preventable.
So, Patrick, you've been advocating...
don't seem to care about the suicides to the same extent.
No. You've been advocating for an increase in mental health funding now for as long as I've been involved in
public health. Since we first met.
Yes. which is over a decade, maybe two, actually. Do you feel that you're being listened to? Do you feel like you're actually getting any traction, or do we actually really need to... you know, look at some other ways of actually building the advocacy around this?
I think we have to do something different. It's not that politicians are not sympathetic, and in fact, currently the government hasn't denied the crisis, and the current minister Martin Foley has absolutely acknowledged students' report and so on. So,
we're actually losing you, Patrick. We're having your phones cutting in and out a little bit.
Sorry. I think the current ministers do acknowledge it, but there's serious plans going on for a redesign and reform, particularly in Victoria. And Greg Hunt is a very sympathetic federal minister. But the thing that hasn't happened is the public rising up and demanding this issue get addressed. Can you imagine if 2 out of 3 people with chest pain or breast cancer were turned away from specialist services because there wasn't enough capacity to
We'd have mayhem. We'd have mayhem. Absolutely.
Well, that is the situation. 2 out of 3 people with serious mental illness are being turned away from specialist mental health care in Victoria. In fact, it's 3 out of 4. At Origin, where I work in the Northwest, in the young people, we're turning away 3 seriously mentally ill young people every single day because we don't have enough resources to look after them.
Patrick, we will actually ask you to come back on the show, and maybe we'll talk about this in a bit more depth.
It's a wider discussion we need to have, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But just as we wind up now, because we've run out of time, just your take-out message and what are the 1 or 2 things that our listeners can do to look after themselves? Yeah.
I think, for many people, Christmas is a pretty tough time. It's probably why you're part of the reason why you're having this discussion, especially people who have suffered, people who have been rejected or discriminated against. They feel misunderstood. And I suppose the best thing it would be to spend time with people that they really trust and care about over Christmas and the new year, and just try to use some of those sort of ideas that the 3 of us have talked about to strengthen their mental health over that period, and just think ahead. Think if it is a tough time, it will pass, and things will get better.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Pat, and we wish you, all the best with the work that you're doing, the great work that you're doing in caring for very vulnerable members of our community, and best wishes for the new year to you. You've just been listening.
Thank you both, and listeners.
Pleasure.
Thank you. You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass, and we've just had a great conversation with Professor Patrick McGorry, who's the Director of Origin Youth Mental Health and a former Australian of the Year.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.